Morning, church. It'll be at church today. Amen. Do you have church before church? I hope so. Right? You know how you get full when you walk in? You already came full. Right? You just keep pouring it out, God. You're like this vessel. That's what God's word says. You're a vessel, right, for his presence. You're a carrier of his presence. And you're like a cup or like a vase or whatever you want to be. And God is just pouring in you. And then when you pour out, the ones around you, they get wet. They get wet. Get anointed. Feel the presence of God. It's different than what they can get out there. Right? Woo. God's calling forth a dry bar. Come on now. It's going to dry up the bar. Christians are going to get filled up. They're going to get wet. Pour out. Drink from a different cup. Come on now. You know, the presence of God. Amen. Did I even say who I was? I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor, again, to bring God's word to you, and I'm super duper excited about this morning. It's multiple things this morning, but what it is, all that it is honoring the Lord. Amen. We're honoring God this morning. I love being a part of a wonderful church family. You guys are awesome. We love you. You guys just keep doing some stuff for the Lord. Amen. You're not just coming and being, man. You're not just coming and hearing. You are the church. Come on now, we got to live like Jesus is alive. 2020 is going to be an amazing year. Do you believe it? Can you not see it? It's already begun. This is a year God strips the fruitless parts of us. You know that? I don't know if I can say this behind the pulpit, but that sucks. It does, but it's right. This is a year he rebuilds some of our faith foundation. A year we ask, is that Bible? Or is that something else? We need to have God's perfect vision. Church, refocus. It's time for 2020 vision. Amen? Can I get a hallelujah for the Lord? Amen. Amen. So what must God remove from us? In the way that the church sees things right now, what part of our vision needs Holy Spirit surgery? What needs to be removed? What in our life is not biblical that we think is? What in our hands or in our hearts, in our personal foundation of faith is not actually from the Bible? God's going to strip that from us, and he's going to rebuild. He's going to do it. He's having us refocus. See, God's eyes are the only eyes with perfect vision. Forget that 2020, man. God sees perfect. So if we're expecting God to move, to be powerful, and to save this perverse and crooked generation, then we must get back to what the Lord established as pillars of the church. Church, we need to look at our roots if we want different fruits. If we keep going the same way that we're going, we're going to die. God has to plant something new. What he originally intended, then he's going to give us new fruits, the fruits that he always intended us to have. Amen? See, it's not about our interpretation of God's word or man-built ideas or doctrines or ideals. We can't keep pressing our personal convictions on each other that aren't even biblical. If we want to see like God sees, we have to refocus. Can I ask you something this morning? Brother Bob, I'm going to ask you because you want me to. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Do you feel like you're carrying something for God? Are you being offended for God? Are you offended on things he himself isn't even offended on? I'm going to get right in it. I'm going to get right in it. I don't know. I don't want to point nobody out, but okay. I don't see nobody, but who in here thinks that hats in church are against God? Nobody wants to raise their hand, but I know you believe it. Hats in church are against God. Let me ask you a question. Is that biblical? I told you I'm going to get right in it. In fact, if you're Jewish and you walk into the synagogue and you do not cover your head, you're disrespectful. Disrespectful to Yahweh. The reason why we believe hats in church are against God is because it's an American thing. It's not a biblical thing. Somebody brought to my attention as they were going out, sweet, loving, kind woman who just asked me the question, which was awesome, and it stirred me up because I've studied this before. I'm getting to a point here in just a second. Let me ask you another question. Do you have to dress up to come Sunday morning to be in God's presence? Do you think I preach better because I'm wearing a suit this morning? It's Amy over here. Yes. Oh, stand up. Just joking. Put on your hat. What have we made certain things? Are they biblical? Are they not? See, what I love about Pastor Sonny, he told me a while ago that he had a conviction from the Lord that every Sunday morning he will wear a tie, and he's done it for 40 years. Amen. What I love about him is he hasn't told anybody else they have to do that. That's for him and the Lord. He made a promise to him, and he's honored it. See, I'm saying something here for a second. There's a new kind of revival about to take place. One where the lost are going to flood the churches, and they're not going to look like a Sunday morning crowd. And are you going to judge them because they're wearing a hat, they got purple hair, they got tattoos all over their body, they're not dressed like you? Are you going to judge them? Because is that biblical? Or is it something we've made? I told you I'm going to get right into it. God is stripping us. I'm just searching his word for answers. And I'm saying, what have we made it? And what have you wanted it to be? See, where's the compassion for the soul that needs Christ? See, maybe that's what's been hindering you for so long, for these years. By the way, there's been people before that have said, hey, I'm so glad you're wearing a tie, or I'm so glad you're dressed up today. And I'm thinking, why aren't you? Why are you glad I am, but you're not? I don't understand that. Now let me tell you why I'm dressed today, because I came to work. Right? I'm a professional, and I came to be professional, but guess what? If I came here in jeans and a t-shirt, you think God's not going to honor that? You think God's not going to anoint me? If you think that, show me in the Bible where it says that. Because if I go on the missions trip and I'm not dressed in a suit, does that mean I can't preach? Does that mean I don't got a word upon my mouth? What have we made it? But let me tell you, this is my conviction. This is what I'm... Some people bought me some suits, and I'm thankful. And they go, oh, Pastor, you don't have to dress like that. You're right, I don't have to, but I like to, because I want to. But guess what? You can come in your flip-flops and your shorts, and I'll look at you no different, because I don't care. I'm just glad you're here. It's about God's word anyway. I'm speaking to your heart, not your flesh, and I'm not how you look right now. I'm not speaking to that. Right? God's word is coming deeper than what you're wearing. A lot of times we dress up what we should strip off. Come on now. Ding, ding. Round one. Right? Come on. Amen. God is ready. I just keep praying this prayer. I don't care what anybody thinks about me, God. Let me honor you. I don't care. God, but let me do it with love. If you think I'm angry this morning, I'm not. I am overwhelmed by love because I know that God has more. God has more. God has more. God has more. That's why this word that God gave me this morning, he says he's going to free a church that has been imprisoned. He's going to free us for the things that actually matter to him. And maybe that's what's been hindering you for all these years from hearing God's voice, because you're making things that aren't biblical and you're making them biblical. Maybe that's what's been hindering for you all these years, for not having the compassion he wants you to have for others that don't look or act like you. If it isn't biblical, if it's not a biblical issue, quit making it one. God doesn't need our help writing his word. Now, bad news. Revelation 22, 18, 1 and 2 says this. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Don't rewrite God's word in your heart, then proclaim it to others in judgment. That's what a Pharisee does. And this world does not need any more Pharisees. This world needs authentic followers of Christ, full of compassion, full of God's love, by the power of the Holy Spirit that is evident in their lives and how they walk, talk, and how they believe and what they do in their life. That's what the world needs. Refocus. Get God's perfect vision. So above all things, what is God most care? What does he care most about? Souls. Souls. See, Jesus came for one specific thing, relationship. Yes, I know, set you free. I know he came to break the bonds of sin and death. I get all that, but it only happens through relationship. Jesus came for relationship. It always has been, and it will always be about relationship with him. And here's where we've lost it, I think, church. It's always also been about relationship with one another. Always. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus do everything on his own? He had 12 and he had 3. But a lot of times we expect church to be all about the Jesus. Well, pastor's going to do that. Jesus himself, God himself, had a team. And he didn't only have 12 and 3, he had 500, thousands. He had people following. He had a whole group of people, and he sent them and sent them and sent them. He anointed them. He taught them. He equipped them, and he sent them, and he sent them, and he sent them. Everybody has a job. Everybody has something to do. It's a battleship, like I said last week. This is not a cruise ship. I'm not a cruise director. This is not for your entertainment. For entertainment only, right? Man, I could tell jokes. I can. But it's not all about entertainment. This is a battleship. Everybody has a job, and if you don't do your job, we will sink. Why? Because the enemy will sink us. But if everybody has a job, we will never lose. In Acts chapter 2, there were 4 major pillars in the first church, the first century church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Number one. And to fellowship, number two. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, three. And to prayer, four. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Can I stop there for a second? Right before this was in Acts, there was 120 in the upper room. They were there for 10 days. Okay, outside of Jesus, the greatest sermon ever preached is from a man named Peter, who was probably in the same clothes for 10 days, being in the upper room, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He probably stunk. I mean, woo! Dude, he's in the Middle East in an upper room. It's already hot in the higher room of that house or that building they were in, with 120 people in a small space. And what did he do? Did he go and put on a suit? Now, he went out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he preached one of the greatest messages you'll ever hear in your entire life. And it said 3,000 came to Christ that very day from that very sermon. Verse 44. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. And if you have excess and somebody has nothing, we are called to help each other. Right? If somebody can't make groceries and you're like, I don't know how much I should put in my 401k that I have extra today, man, you know what's better than your 401k is feeding a family that needs it. Right? That will hold on in this world, but what will feeding a family that needs it? It'll hold on to the next. Verse 45. They sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money of those in need. 46. They worshiped together at the temple each day. I love Sunday morning because we worship together. I love Sunday night and Wednesday night. I love it. Love it. Love it. It's wonderful when we get together. The Spirit of God is so powerful and so sweet. And they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals with great joy and generosity. Invite somebody out to eat today. Invite them out to eat. Invite them to your home. With great joy and generosity, not out of obligation. If you're giving to the Lord out of obligation. You haven't learned how to tithe, to give to God. And if you haven't learned how to give to other people out of obligation, ask God to restrip, and rebuild. Verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those being saved. Now the Greek word here in Scripture for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia means unity, sharing, close association, partnership, a society, a communion, a brotherhood, participation, and helpful contribution. It means more than just fellowship. Hey, we're going to hang out today because I love Jesus. How are you? I'm blessed. Amen? Right? It's deeper than that. It's more than that. I love the last one. It's helpful contribution. You got those friends that like to contribute, you know what I'm saying? But they're not so helpful, right? Quit flapping your mouth and get to work, right? Okay, you got your opinion out. Now what are you going to do about it? Amen? Helpful contribution. We live in a time that God uses the church to reach the world. This is the day and the age of the church. How do I know that? God made it that way. Acts chapter 2, chapter 1, all of Acts. It is how God has chosen to reach the lost and to set the captive free. The way we connect together, it really matters to God. God cares about the way that we love each other with compassion. He cares about the way we pursue his mission together. The first major move we're going to take to refocus on what God says is important and should be a pillar in our Christian life is koinonia. See, forced community is called communism. A community built in Christ's love and in koinonia, according to the Bible, calls this church. Fellowship, community, connection, participation, relationship. Starting next month in February, at First Open Bible, there's going to be a thing called Connect Groups. A Connect Group, in essence, is a small group, but it has a great emphasis on connection and friendship in the Lord. It'll be a safe place to believe, belong, and to become. Connect Groups take place the second and fourth Sunday of every month, starting next month in February, February 9th. That's 4 weeks from today. There's going to be 6 connect groups to pick from. It's on a Sunday night. 3 are going to be right here in the church building, and 3 are going to be in homes. That's how we're going to start it out. If you're somebody who's been regularly attending Sunday nights, there's still going to be a place for you right here at the same time to connect here in our church. There's going to be more info coming out about these connect groups this week. This week. Toward the end of the week, we're going to have more stuff for you coming. So please stay tuned about this exciting time to get connected. See, the first week on Sunday night is always praise and worship night. Starting next month, the next one will be connect groups. And then the third week will be either Pastor John Helmuth or Pastor Cody Van Sickle. And then we'll have connect groups again. That's next month going forward. We're going to connect together at least 2 times every month, getting together, living together, knowing one another. And I want to invite you to participate and connect. I want to invite you to do life together with us. Because that's what God wanted for us. That is one of the 4 pillars. It's not to come Sunday morning and check it off your list. That's something America has made. America has made that you come to a service and you just have a service. See, God says you come to service because it's part of what we do. But the 4 pillars that we're supposed to connect outside of just Sunday morning. Supposed to do life together. Okay. Good recap. I feel good. I feel better. Amen. You guys feel good? Some of you. I'm excited about this service this morning. We're going to focus on Stephen Ministry Commissioning Service this morning. Because the heart of a disciple, a follower of Jesus, that is totally devoted to the things of God is a precious thing. It's precious. Church, if we're only in this relationship with God for it to be about God and us, then we've missed the complete gospel. If you've missed the completion of the gospel, you've missed what Jesus died for and what he rose for. If you're saved, say hallelujah. If you're saved and you study God's word, you'll understand once God has found you and you have found him, you will go find people. That's the Bible. All this was never intended to stay here. It's not just, this is the only time you can have this incredible experience with the Lord. It can be in your house. It can be in aisles. It can be at your work. It can be all over. It just takes two. There's a song about that, right? I'm just playing. I'm not going to sing it. You're all like, oh. And there it goes. Or two or more. Or got the Bill, I heard that. Takes where two or more gathered in his name, he's in the midst of us. Koinonia, coming together, not to just hang out, but to be the church together, to do life together. That's what God wants. And when you know and when you're full, see, a heart of a disciple has the love and the care and the compassion for other people. They burn with love from our Father, wanting to lead people closer to Jesus. Listen, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but let me tell you what God did for me. This is what's amazing about Jesus. He's going to find you right where you're at. Help me. Help me. Come with me. Come with me. I want to tell you about this guy named Jesus. Let me tell you what he did with my life. Let me tell you. A disciple, follower of Jesus, wants people to be set free, wants people to be healed by Jesus, just like they are. Mark 1, verses 40 through 42 says this. Here's a true story of a man and Jesus. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. Do you notice right there? He knelt before Jesus because he knew who he was. When you know who Jesus is, you kneel before him and you recognize the power. You recognize and you get in awe, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. This is Jesus. Move. With compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Let me read verse 41 again. And 40 it says this, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Praise God. Amen. See, God forgives our sins. It's vertical. But he instructs us horizontally to connect together for us to be healed. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Thank you for your forgiveness. But James 5:16 says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Today is a joyous occasion here at First Open Bible. Today we celebrate the commissioning of our newest Stephen ministers. Through them, our congregation and our community will discover a new level of caregiving, a level of compassionate discipleship. Through their guidance of the Stephen leaders that we have, these Stephen ministers will bring the compassion, the support, and the prayer to people who are in pain or facing grief. They trust that the Lord himself will provide the cure, just like Jesus did 2,000 years ago for that man with leprosy. Church, listen to me real quick. Sometimes in life, we just need somebody to care about us like Jesus did and like he does. Sometimes your mouth doesn't need to be open, but your ears need to be listening. We need someone to see us right where we're at, accept us, and love us, and be moved with compassion like Christ was. We need to come together and face hard things in life, because if we do, church, it will help heal lives and draw people closer to God. We have always been called to do life together. Never been different. This is sad, but the world is not looking to read the book of the Bible anymore. You believe that, you need to turn on the news. You need to maybe get out. You need to go talk to somebody. They're not looking to read the Bible, the book of the Bible anymore. But what the world is looking for, to see the Bible in skin form. It's time, church, we be the Bible in the flesh. The world has heard a lot from the church about what is wrong, but they have not seen or witnessed what is right from the church. It's time we shut our mouth and show them. Refocus and do what the Bible actually says to do. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We are called to be moved with compassion. We're called to walk life together. True human concern and genuine love is what we celebrate today. Our five new Stephen ministers are excited to represent Jesus to so many who are in grief and working through difficulties in their life. These five people from our congregation are being commissioned into a special ministry of care and concern known as Stephen Ministry. Today we recognize the extensive training and preparation for this caring ministry through these five amazing lay leaders. For 20 weeks, our new Stephen ministers have been praying, planning, and praying. Now that their initial 50 hours of training is over, they still maintain by meeting twice a month in continuous training and in prayer. This caring ministry was led by two wonderful women of God, Miss Carolyn Wagner. Put your hand in the air like you care. Come on, girl. Hallelujah. She's our Stephen Ministry leader. And then Miss Bobby Rose, come on now. No, we can't see that. Put it up. Woo, hallelujah, amen. Amen. She's our Stephen Ministry co-leader. Our new Stephen ministers have studied and they've practiced skills in such areas as this: dealing with feelings, crisis intervention, asserting oneself with gentleness and firmness. Come on, the church can learn that, right? Be gentle and firm, right? A lot of times we're firm, but we're aggressive. Jesus was aggressive, but not as often as we would like to think he was, right? You can flip the tables over, but can you get on your knees and wash feet? Come on now. They're dealing with feelings, crisis intervention, asserting oneself with gentleness and firmness, and numerous other topics that help people walk through life. I don't know about you, but life is not as easy as we pretend that it is. It's not. It's not. It's hard. After today's commissioning service, these Stephen ministers will be assigned to minister in our congregation and in our community. They'll be working with people who are experiencing such life crises as hospitalization, retirement, financial setbacks, loss of a loved one, divorce, or any number of difficult things that people face in daily living or major life changes. Sherry, Miss Sherry, will you come up? And Miss Carolyn, will you come up and join me with the certificates of completion, please? As Sherry calls your name, will you please come up and join us? All right. Thank you.
Christine Long.
Good job. Amen. Let's go right over there. Amen.
John E. Byer. Eldon Hansen. Joyce Ostrander. Bobby Rose.
Do it. Amen. Church, all together, can we give a powerful applause for the new Stephen ministers? Amen. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate that. We thank God for their gifts of caring and their gifts of listening. Their ministry will increase us greatly in our overall ministry here at First Open Bible. Church, please keep these people in your prayers as they carry the love of Christ to their care receivers. There's a lady named Joyce who would like to give a testimony about what Stephen Ministry has done for her life.
Last year was probably one of the hardest times in my life and my family's life. And somebody stood in the gap for me when I felt that God had left me. Mm. But God didn't leave me, I left Amen. God. Mm. I thought because I failed in something God gave me, ministering to lots of people, that he was upset with me. And a very sweet person, like I said, stood in the gap, and she helped me raise my hands like Moses. Wait upon God to reopen my ears and my heart. We are commissioned by God to stand in the gap for those who are weak, for those who need help. And sometimes we forget that we're human and that we can't stand on our own. We need fellowship. And so in those times, like I said, we're commissioned by God to stand in the gap and not to our own boastness. And that's what I promise I, and I know all of us, are going to do, is we're standing in the gap for whoever needs uplifting in their time of need.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Ooh. Amen. So what's about church? How you be the church? What I love about her heart right there is this. She was facing something awful. She was ministered to, and God is walking her through that. And what did she do? She says, my turn. I'm now going to help someone else. That's discipleship. That's following Jesus. That's koinonia. That is what God wants of our life. Proud of you. Amen. Proud of you. Thank you. We are in just a moment going to commission our Stephen ministers. First, I want us to rejoice in advance for all the people that they're going to touch through this caring and compassionate ministry and through this service. We believe that God has ordained this service for them, and will continue the calling with our prayers. In the Old Testament, the word ordained, what that means is to fill their hands. So today we want to help fill their hands with God's service through compassionate koinonia. May the Lord ordain them and give them plenty to do with their hands, with their time, and with their hearts. I want to personally thank all of you for your dedication, your hearts, and your hard work. This is not going to be an easy ministry. It is hard walking life with people who are broken. You wish you could just step in and do it for them. It's hard. So hard. There'll be times and no one will see you and you will just cry for them. And you'll cry out for God for a breakthrough. And you'll believe that he will. And even if you don't see it in the way that you hoped to see it, you keep pressing. Nothing powerful or effective in this life is easy. Nothing. Personally helping me minister to this flock, I want to thank you for that. And I want to say I love you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. At this time, I've asked the elders to please come up. I'm going to anoint them. We're going to lay hands on them. Please come on up, elders. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of hands." Can you guys make a circle? We want to surround you and pray for you. Church, will you extend your hands? I got some anointing all right here. All right, Nate Dog, will you anoint their foreheads for me? Just put what that represents. The anointing oil represents God's Spirit. It's a representation that God's Spirit is here. And in the Old Testament, that's how they anointed kings in their next position, and what God has called them to, or other people in positions. And that's what we're doing this morning, is we're anointing you for the position and the place that God has placed upon you. And God's word says the elders come and we pray, we lay hands, we anoint. So we are going to commission you this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you're going to do. We lift up these Stephen ministers and leaders right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, I pray for the fire of God to fill them, love and compassion to fill them, God, and open up their mouths when they should be open and close it when they should be closed. God, I pray that you help walk them through situations with other people. I pray the anointing power to be upon their hands. Fill them right now. And Jesus, just like it says in your word, when they laid hands on the sick, they shall recover. When they lay hands on the people with leprosy that is crippling people and killing them and making them feel like they're abandoned, that they're unclean and not welcome in the group, God, that these people will come in and remind them who Jesus thinks they are, who they know that they are. God, I thank you for this ministry. I pray that right now, fire God be upon their hands. Shataramba. Right now, fire come. Fill them. Right now. Healing hands. Healing feet, healing eyes, healing lips, healing ears. Right now. Powerful prayers. Not long ones, but powerful. To serve exactly what they are to serve. To set free exactly what they're supposed to set free. It's not by their power or by their might, but it's by the might of the Lord, by the might of his Spirit. We thank you now, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, elders. You may be seated. Stay up here with me, guys. Worship team, will you please come? Stephen ministers, will you come closer to me like I don't stink? Amen. I am sweaty. It means I've been working. Come on over. So this special service, church, I'm talking to you now. It's dedicated to our Stephen ministers and to our leaders, yes. But in some degree, it's to all of us. Because we're all Christians and we're all ministers of Jesus Christ. Everywhere around us are people waiting for our touch. Everywhere. You're about to walk out of this place. Man, there's people right next to you right now. Right? Put on the facade all you want. I know you're broken. I know you're hurting. I know all you need is a touch from God. I know it. People all around us, there's places we're going to go. People await our friendship. People await our love. People await our compassion. People await the truth of God. If they know it or they like it or not, that's what they're waiting for. People are waiting for compassionate koinonia. Being Christ's hands is not just for Stephen ministers. It's for everybody. When we realize that and we do it, we're going to be doing what Jesus called us to do from the very beginning. The touch of God, what does it do? It attacks disease. It breaks down social division. It crumbles racial walls. It mends broken hearts, heals situations, and frees everyone from their chains. This world, they're looking for the Bible with skin on. They're looking for you. They're looking for the church to be the church. The first step in finding out what you should do in this life, the very first thing you need to know what to do in this life is laying down your life. So, who is willing to pay the price to love? Who is willing to care for others for God's sake? Who in here is willing to refocus and not look at the outward, but instead look at the heart? See, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Who is ready to follow Christ and lead others by the power of the Holy Spirit? Who is ready to love the people around them with compassion? If that's you, you want more compassion to love others, stand to your feet right now. If you're a Stephen minister and you're already one that has already been commissioned, will you please come join us up here? God gave me this, and I told Miss Carolyn about it, and I think she told you all, but if she didn't, it's what it is. I'm the pastor. God gave me a plan, so we're going to do it. You're standing to your feet. You're saying that I need more compassion. I need more love. You got enough? Amen. So we commissioned them. And we ordain them to fill their hands to get to work. Amen? Hey, guess what? Work starts today, right now. And I've said this to people that I work with, kind of joking, but really, get to work. Amen? Amen in the Lord. You want more compassion. If you want more love for others, if you want God to fill your hands, these Stephen ministers are praying for you this morning. If you want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill your hands with fire, to love people and to see the sick be free and the captive set free, if you want these people to be healed, if that's who you want today, as we sing, I want you to come up and get prayer. Will you go ahead and spread out anywhere you want in this congregation? Go and find them. And you don't have to pray these long prayers. Just pray right now, God, right now, exactly what they need right now in Jesus' name. Boom, boom, boom. If we have some ushers, maybe, I just feel the presence of God that is powerful. If some ushers that have helped before, will you be behind them just in case they fall out in the presence of God? If you say, oh, I don't know if I believe in that, well, then you don't believe what happened on the night that Jesus was arrested. The night when Jesus was arrested and they said, who is Jesus? He said, I am he, or I am. It said that a whole group of soldiers fell, bam, to their knees, fall back however they fell, because the power of God was so powerful at that moment. And I feel that right now as we pray, there's going to be people feeling the power of God, and they may fall out. So we need you to help. Let me pray, and let's do exactly what God calls us to do. God, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. Lord, we don't do this for our own gain, but yours. I pray that your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. We worship you now, God. We anoint these hands. We anoint these people to do what you've called them to do. This is not another day. It's just not another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. His mercies are new now. His grace is evident now. His compassion will fill us now. His fire will purify us now. We will go out and do what God calls us to now. Open our spiritual ears to hear. Let's not make things that aren't biblical, make them biblical, and then we judge other people. Get us back to your word. Get us back to the roots. Let us see with your vision. Let us see with your compassion. Let us see exactly what you've called. Let's call sin what sin is, and let's show them how to live. Come together and love one another. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.